Hello and welcome to Children's Hour on Radio 4, your weekly guide to all that's thoughtful and provocative in pop. I'm Craig Children of The Independent on Sunday, the iOS as we call it in the office.
Or the Sunday as they call it on Private Eye.
Yes, I'm joined as ever by Martin Bain-Jones of The Telegraph.
Hello there, geezer. Oh.
This, of course, is the programme where Radio 4 invites a slightly younger listener who might normally feel, I don't know, a little bit threatened by such proximity to current affairs, culture, Jenny Murray, etc., to come and enjoy some of the treasures traditionally reserved only for people who can not so much smell cerebral as can pick up a pen without getting ink all over their fingers.
That's right, and if you see Radio 4 as a rather buttoned-up, starchy, librarian-type woman, then perhaps you'd like to watch as Craig and I remove her horn-rimmed glasses, take the pins out of her hair, and let it tumble down luxuriously over her naked shoulders, because we also took her blouse off.
Yes, all right, Martin.
So you might look at her with new eyes and say, "Why, Miss Radio 4, you're beautiful."
Those of you who were paying attention last week will have been expecting an interview with a gang star rap artist, Streety Gundog. Sadly, Streety couldn't make it today because of his very public arrest on the Saturday morning children's television programme, Chuckle Towers. In the meantime, Martin and I will be turning our attention to what I suppose we can call now the mid-90s phenomenon of Britpop.
His suede with the seminal animal nitrate. Oh, sounds like a tongue twister, that, doesn't it? Yes, seminal animal. Seminal animal nitrate. I suppose it's probably a play on words, isn't it? Ammo, animal. Yeah. Well, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's call it a play on words.
Yes. Well, they're musicians, aren't they? They don't write crosswords. Here we go. Martin, where have you been?
Sorry, Craig. I've had a bit of a morning of it, actually. Oh.
Well, come in, then. It's freezing out here. I haven't got my fleece.
Oh, sorry, Craig. Have you made a start?
No, I haven't made a start, Martin. This is our party. Just because it's at my house doesn't mean you can leave me to do all the hosting.
Well, it does say children's party on the invite.
Well, everything we do together has my name on it. I'm sorry, it's not my fault that it's my name that's crying out for clever wordplay. When Bain-Jones is in the Oxford English Dictionary, other than as a synonym for adenoidal problems, let me know. I'll see what I can do.
Robin Day managed to do Question Time for years without feeling that he had to call it, I don't know, Face the Day or Day In, Day Out. Actually, no, that conjures up rather a different image, doesn't it? That'd be a rather bluer version, wouldn't it? Day in, day out. Yes, you can imagine it, can't you? It's a soft focus. Robin Day meets Margaret Beckett, say. In front of a studio audience, they go through a perfunctory interview and then get down to it on a large circular oak table.
Oh, Martin!
Day in,
Martin!
Day out.
Martin! Oh, never going to get that out of my mind.
Yeah, sorry.
Right, okay, well, what's that you're carrying?
Ah, yes, that's my costume.
It's not fancy dress, Martin. It says on the invitation, come as you aren't. It's very clever. You're supposed to come as the sort of person that you aren't. For example, I'll be coming as a very aggressive, very macho character with a medallion and shades. Possibly a moustache, I haven't decided yet. You know, because I'm not like that, and people will think that's very witty. That's what I meant by come as you aren't.
Well, I aren't a duck.
Yes, apparently there's some sort of gland up there or something. Oh, sorry. You're listening to Children's Hour with me, Craig Children, and my colleague, Martin Bain-Jones. Together we're being frightfully clever about Britpop. Swayed there with a song that's a bit close to the knuckle, in your face, a bit risque, bit, let's get down. Oh my God, there's Robin Day again. Martin, take over.
Yes, Craig, well, I suppose one of the interesting things about suede was their deliberate sexual ambiguity. I'm thinking, of course, of makeup, spangly trousers and that puzzling poster campaign. And I suppose in this way suede, and to a lesser extent perhaps pulp, even blur, hark back to the gender bender heyday of the mid-70s, a time when heterosexual men went out of their way to cloud and muddy the waters of sexuality, in a way that is, of course, uniquely appealing to an audience discovering their own sexuality for the first time. Interestingly, of course, the 80s was a time when lots of homosexual men pretended to be very macho.
So are suede gay or what?
Well, that's not the point, you know. I mean, we don't know. It's very much the ambiguity that was interesting. Famously, of course, frontman Brett Anderson claimed to be a bisexual who'd never had a homosexual experience.
Oh! Well, that's a good way out, isn't it? That's very clever. Yeah. I might be. I might not be. Like it, yeah. Good. Suede. Good band. Here's Ocean Colour Scene. I see double. Oh, in. How many crates of that have you brought?
Oh, there's these five here, and there's two more on the back of the maestro.
No, don't put it there. That's where Prince likes to sit to watch me eat. What is that, anyway?
Oh, it's poutine.
What?
Well, it's a sort of rough spirit from Ireland. I have a funny feeling it's illegal, actually, because, as I recall, if you drink too much of it, it makes you go blind. Yes. But it's a bit strong for some people's tastes. I took this crate to that wonderful bash that Shane McGowan and Hurricane Higgins threw for Michael Barrymore at Oliver Reed's house. But, for some reason, no one touched it.
Well, look, put it in the front room next to the punch.
Oh, righto, yes.
Now, where's Prince going to go? Oh, yeah, put him in my bedroom, yeah. I was going to put a no-entry sign on it anyway. The last thing I want is that awful Andy Thomas and his Radio 1 cronies rolling drugs and having cocaine in there.
Oh, is Andy coming?
Yeah, yeah. I did say something when I saw him in the corridor. Well, otherwise he'll only try and crash. Especially when he finds out Streety Gundog's coming. You know what he is like? One whiff of a media event and he needs fighting off with long sticks. He went to the premiere of The Avengers. Martin, what is the matter with you today? You're all sort of funny and quiet.
As a matter of fact, I'm a little bit down. Eva and I have had a bit of a dig-dog.
Huh.
Yeah, it's a bit delicate, actually. You see, the thing is, Craig, Eva won't go on the pill.
No?
You don't mind me talking to you about this, do you?
No. I love all this sort of thing, you know, the pill, Kilroy, women's stuff. Yeah, it's great.
We've talked about it many, many, many times, but she feels, and I fully respect this, that the changes a woman's body goes through as a side effect, if you like, of menstrual control, such as engorged breasts, water retention, altered sexual appetite, you know, they're rather a high price to pay for security of mind during the sexual act.
Mm.
And I suppose, while I can understand that, it's very difficult for me because...
Because you don't feel able to have sex with her because you find her body repulsive.
Well, no, I was going to say I find it very hard to achieve stimulation through a prophylactic.
Prophylactic, right, good. Well, so she won't be coming, that's what I need to know. She won't be coming to the party, I'm going to go and get some cheese out.
Said, no, it won't, because it's water-based.
Hmm. Oh, happily, you're listening to Children's Hour, the popular music show for the kind of person who already knew they were cool and didn't have to fail all their exams to prove it. Martin Bain-Jones, we've been talking about Britpop, and I just made a reference to a tuned-in person's attitude to education. Perhaps you'd like to stitch these two things together in a clever and provocative way.
Oh, gangway, here I come. Of course, Blur and their erstwhile arch-rivals Oasis represent two very different attitudes to cleverness under a common Britpop umbrella. Blur, nicely turned out young men with comely faces who've decided to go full-time in their band but have a degree to fall back on if it all goes wrong. Oasis, on the other hand, much more the sort of weasel-faced, mono-eyebrow, donkey-head thuggery end of the spectrum. It's certainly true that when Noel Gallagher boasted that he'd never read a book, he was rejecting the values of a middle-class-led society, which I think's a shame. I mean, I've just finished reading Enigma by Robert Harris, which I must say was an absolutely riveting read. So, Noel, if you're listening, why not give it a try? I'd be glad to lend it to you. It's all about spies and code-breaking during the war. Nothing too difficult.
Yes, and if anyone else has got any suggestions for a book that Noel might like to have a go at, you know, something accessible, maybe the Narnia books. But I'll leave it to you. Then drop us a line and we'll make up a little reading list for him.
So here's one of Oasis's biggest hits, Don't Look Back in Anger.
Yes, a title obviously taken from the John Osborne play, Look Back in Anger, which presumably Noel hasn't read.
No, he probably just heard the phrase knocking around somewhere. Slip
inside the eye of your mind. But how can you see to walk about? You know, what are you looking out of?
I'm looking out of the beak. Look here. Hello. Hello.
Oh.
Hello. Hey.
Oh, it's weird, isn't it?
I think it's the eyes. There's a peculiar glint in them, a kind of dull, staring, low animal cunning.
Oh, it's making me feel funny. Look, why don't you at least take the head off until more people arrive?
Oh, that's not really in the spirit of things, is it? Anyway, with the head off, I'm just plain old Martin Bain-Jones from Children's Hour. With the head on, I'm an A-list celebrity.
No, you're going to have to explain.
Oh, Barney the Duck. Quack, quack, quack. Don't you watch children's telly? He's one of the biggest stars on the box. I pulled a couple of favours in the BBC costume department and my friend Wendy smuggled this out in the back of her car so I could wear it tonight.
Oh, no, yes, no, I do recognise. Yes, he's famous. Yes, oh, I have. Oh, you're really good. Oh, hello. Shake my hand. Go on.
Oh, Craig, it's me. It's Martin.
Yes, I know it's you. I know it's you. Oh, go on, shake it. Oh, it feels all funny. Hello, Barney. Welcome to my party.
Thanks.
Do you want me to show you around the house? I know it's you, Martin. No. But Barney, do you want me to show you around the house? Do you want some punch? Very good. I'll give you some punch if you give me a kiss. I know it's you, Martin. Don't you? Oasis there. You're listening to Children's Hour, and we're taking Britpop to pieces and leaving it red-faced with our frankness. Martin, some people think that Oasis have copied the Beatles. Is that true or not true? Or is it somewhere in between? Is it not so black and white? Is it more like grey? Most things look grey when you're clever, don't they, Martin?
Yes, they do. You're right. And in answer to a slightly different question, interesting, isn't it, that the Beatles chose to spell their name with an E-A rather than with a double E, thereby punning, if you like, on the word beat. A lot of people haven't really thought that one through.
Very clever, yeah.
And don't you think that that pun is rather more literate than Oasis's group title, Oasis, which, of course, reflects no more than a slightly suburban view of sophistication and was also, incidentally, the name of an easy-listening group led by Peter Skellen, which released an album in the 1980s.
Oh, Martin, dare I say it, you're an absolute oasis of information.
Oh, ouch.
Well, we're talking about the origins of Britpop. Why don't we have a discerning listen to one of the forefathers, some say the grandfather of all things pop that go Brit, that should have been the other way around, Mr. Paul Weller, playing with his sometime band, The Jam. Look, why don't you come down just for a minute? There's all sorts of people there, you know. They're all longing to meet you. Barney the Duck's downstairs. What does that look mean? I told you, it's all a work thing, really. It's people from work, you know, and I need to spend time with them too. Look, we'll go somewhere this weekend. Well, we'll go to Bath, yeah, if you like. You're such a silly cat. You really, really are. Oh, that might be Andy Thomas. Coming! Hello.
Hello.
Oh, swell, look at you. Very good, yes. Very, very fetish. Who's that in there, then? Is that you, Andy?
Oh,
right, yes, that's a nod. In you come. Martin, it's Andy.
Oh, hello, Andy.
Barney the Duck, yes it is, yes.
Yeah, it is that costume, yes, Andy, but it's still me inside. Yeah, a bit like you and yours. I can't really see your face either, all that rubber and that... Oh, ouch, that spike in your mouth. You want to be careful about skin asphyxiation there. It doesn't seem anywhere for your skin to breathe. You look like a sort of waterproof Spider-Man.
Yes, the gimp, like in the Tarantino, I think. Yeah, like your references, Andy. Very radio one, very now. Proceed. Well, help yourself a punch if you can. Brilliant, thanks for coming. Andy Thomas, well done, Andy. Talk to you later, Andy.
I want to leave you around the house.
Yeah, catch you later. Well, Martin, is that what you expected? Andy, to turn up looking like that?
I think it's probably ironic.
Well, obviously it's ironic, Martin. Of course it's ironic. It's just that sort of all-over rubber thing, you know. I've never seen the point of it, really. You know, I've never found it attractive. It doesn't really do anything for me. Peculiar, really, because, you know, you'd think it might, but... but it doesn't. Probably because I don't have feelings for Andy Thomas. Martin? And you're listening to Children's Hour with myself, Craig Children of The Independent on Sunday, and my colleague from The Daily Telegraph, Martin Bain-Jones.
Please, Hammer, don't hurt him.
Yes. Well, in a departure from our usual clever discussions of pop, we're taking a brief caesura here on Children's Hour in order for me to read the following binding legal statement. I apologise for the infringement to the liberty of Mr. Peter Davis of Morden, which took place last weekend, when I inadvertently locked him in the spare room of my house in Jackson's Road. I unreservedly apologise for this inconvenience to his person, and except that, in the absence of running water, he was forced to drink a crate of illegally distilled, potato-based Irish spirit, which temporarily robbed him of sight. Peter, our thoughts and prayers are with you. Here's Elastica.
Oh, is that it? He's getting away with it, then.
Shh, Martin.
He's a nutter.
Martin, I can't.
Oh, your hands are tied, so to speak.
Sorry.
Oh, no one's made as much effort as we have they, Andy?
No, not me.
Oh, don't look now.
What?
Oh, that bloke over there, he's staring at me. Don't look. Thing is, Andy, you knew me before I was Barney, so I know you like me for me. But with a lot of all these people here, it's very hard to know whether it's really me they're interested in or whether they just want to be seen with a duck off the telly.
Oh, what sort of time's this to turn up?
You.
Oh, Streety. I'd given you up for dead. I mean, I thought you were late. I didn't mean I thought you might have been involved in some sort of drive-by gangland killing.
Yeah, right. Thief, what's happening, man? Where's the party?
Here. The party's here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, guy. Where's the party? This is the party. I'm here now. It's the party. This is the party now, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I think so. Hello, and who are you?
It's my bitch.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Samantha, isn't it?
Is it?
Hello, Craig, I'm Mentha.
Oh, right. Oh, thank God. Welcome in, Streety. Mantha. Oh, what are you wearing? Of course, yes, you haven't come as you aren't, because you're cool. Yes, break the rules, shut them down, shut them down, shut them down.
Hey, listen, guy, you sure my wheels are going to be all right out there? Because if anybody touches my wheels, I'm going to cut them, you know what I'm saying? I don't mess around, you get me?
All right, yes. Better leave your bitch alone as well, then. Which I will do. In fact, I'm going to leave both of you alone. Help yourself to the punch.
Thief.
Disco 2000 there by Pulp. You're listening to Children's Hour here on Radio 4, the show where the BBC gives a few of its more grown-up, responsible younger listeners the key to the games cupboard of pop. However, if either Martin or myself hear of any young listener abusing that privilege, you'll be in here at break. You've got my degree, it's your time you're wasting. Martin, we've just heard Disco 2000 by Pulp, one of the later works in the Britpop canon, if such we can call it. Where do Pulp stand in reference to the Britpop phenomenon?
Oh, Craig, yes. Well, I suppose one of the defining moments, if not the defining moment, of the Britpop scene was that one intensely memorable night, appropriately enough, at the Brit Awards, when Bob Geldof said that when Michael Jackson danced, you could hear God panting, or something like that. Anyhow, when Michael did dance, what we in fact saw was Jarvis Cocker's arse. An endorsement, if you like, of a rather more earthy kind. I'm reminded of those twin hazards in Greek mythology which impeded, nay, killed any sailor rash enough to sail between them. The Scylla and Charybdis of Cocker's arse chomping on the steaming vessel of Michael Jackson's bonkers vanity.
Barney!
Ah, hello there! Barney, do your dance! Do your dance!
No photographs, please. Excuse me. Yes, you made your point. Look, go and talk to other people.
It's the people that put you there, you bigoted duck.
All right, Barney, give me some love, yeah?
Look, I'm not public proper... Oh, hello. Oh, have you seen my show?
Seen it, man. I watch it every Saturday morning.
Oh, who are you? What's your name?
Mantha. You're lovely, you are. Enough respect. It's wicked to meet you. So is it true you don't get on with Peter Simmons, then?
Sorry?
You know, the one you do the show with, the presenter, on Chuckle Towers.
Oh, yeah, he's all right.
It's so funny, because the kids really like him, but you've got more of an adult thing going on, yeah, you get me? Because what you do is really clever, guy.
That's very kind of you. Thank you very much. A lot of it's improvised, of course. And, when the director says, you know, lights, camera, action, it's quite nerve-wracking. Of course, it goes out live. but a lot of it's left on the cutting room floor.
Hello? Oh, sorry, Martha. Hello, Amantha. Have you seen Streety? I got him a glass of, what's it called, Martin?
Called chin.
I've got a bottle of that here. You want some? It's delicious, mate.
I've got some for Mr. Streety. Martin, have you looked in the kitchen? There's only two bottles left.
Don't worry. I've secreted a crate in the spare room. What's all this Martin business? My name's Barney the Duck. And I'd appreciate a bit of privacy around here if you don't mind.
Oh, I can't handle this.
If I get a pen, will you sign my booty? It's for my niece.
Yes. Martha, look. Oh, look, I can pour the poutine in here. Look. I don't have to take my hat off. Oh, that's good, isn't it? Oh, bloody hell, look, there's Marcus Keating, our commissioning editor.
Hello there.
That's not Geoffrey, is it?
Geoffrey Wallace from Chuckle Towers.
No, it's Martin. Look at the beak. Hello.
Ah, Martin. Yes. I thought that was jolly quick for him to got over from Broadcasting House. I've just seen him at the BBC party.
What?
The BBC do. All the Chuckle Towers lot were there. You know, that Peter Simmons, he's a character.
I didn't know there was a BBC do.
Oh, no. It was just a very informal thing. Just 250 people from the department. I left Andy Thomas there, actually, but he said he might drop in here on his way home.
What? No, he's here already. He's a gimp.
Right. I just said goodbye to him at Broadcasting House.
Hang on. If he's there, then who's the man in the gimp suit?
Oh, hello. So, this is where Andy Thomas comes to get some peace and quiet at a busy media party.
Well, sure you are, Craig.
Oh, it's nice and quiet in here. Oh, that's nice. Take the weight off my feet. Do you want some of this? It's poacher drink. Oh, of course you can't because of your spike and ball gag. Hope you don't mind if I... Oh, Andy, it is nice to see you. I didn't think you'd come.
I'm having a great time.
Oh, you're so lovely, Andy. Go on, give me a hug. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Can you take my gag out, please?
Because we haven't always seen eye to eye, have we? But you know, I've seen a different side of you tonight. Go on, give me another hug.
But this is Andy, Craig.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Andy. I can't always understand what you're saying with that in.
Don't you recognize this
man? All right, look, why don't you write it down for me? Look, pen and paper, there you go, look. My name's not Andy Thomas. My name is Peter Davis. Open brackets, age 47, close brackets. I'm locking this room and I'm not letting you out until the morning.
Oh, hello, Craig. What's in there?
That's the spare room. I've locked that, and it's got to stay locked.
Oh, but Samantha and I were hoping to go and have a chat in there.
Oh, you're one big dirty duck, man.
Oh, she was going to give me a good plucking.
Yeah, fine. Yeah, use my room. Drag me into it. Oh, my God, that's the doorbell. Oh, excuse me. Oh, it's like that fade I saw with Griffiths Jones at the Savoy. Oh, sorry, Streety, I'm on my way to... Oh, what's that you're smoking? Your little pipe. Smells very,
It's the rock, isn't it?
Is it? What's that then? Rock. Look, doesn't matter. Here's your poutine. I've, been carrying that round for about an hour.
No, man. No, don't touch that stuff. You think Mantha?
Oh, the bitch. Sorry, I've got to get that. Oh, Eva.
Where's Martin? We've had an awful row.
Yes, I know. Your breasts, your prophylactics.
Can I speak to him?
Martin's gone away on an assignment for the Telegraph. It sounds like a fun job, but he's not upstairs or downstairs or in my lady's chamber.
Oh, bitchy.
Oh, bloody hell, Rory Bremner holding forth again. He's good, isn't he? Are you going to do me now? Because if you're not, close the window. I said close the window.
Oh, slap the duck. Slap the duck.
Oh, Martin, you've made some coffee, good. Oh, look, you see, there's the absurd irony of it. Look, what's on? Bloody Chuckle Towers. There he is, look, bloody duck. I'll never be able to look him in the eye again. So what happened? I mean, I saw Streety storm off with, what's her name, you know, the bitch. But, I mean, didn't he try and, you know, cut you or burn you or whatever he calls it?
Well, that's just the point, Craig. I don't know. I remember shinning down the drain pipe. I remember driving to TV Centre at first light with the duck costume. But apart from that, it's all a blurred mystery. Oh, look, they haven't even cleaned the duck suit. Look, you can see where I sat down on that plate of coronation chicken.
Oh, how could you do it, Martin? You betrayed the woman you love. You leave me at the mercy of the gimp. And to add insult to injury, you jumped the living girlfriend of one of the country's most notorious gangsters wearing a duck suit. He's meant to be on our show this week. We'll be lucky if we're alive to do it.
Oh, poor Eva. What put that poor woman through? Oh.
Oh, look, that's not the sort of thing children should be watching. Oh, my God, it's Streety Gundog. Oh, I don't believe it. Martin, he's just stormed onto the programme. He's just cut the duck.
Sorry to viewers there. We interrupt that scheduled transmission of Chuckle Towers. In the meantime...
God, well, you've got to be impressed, really, haven't you? You know, he's not pretending, old Streety, is he? That's not some Mark Morrison cattle prod. That's the real potatoes. You know... The recoil on that piece was something phenomenal. That duck went dancing all the way to the back wall. You know, because he can do all of that gangster stuff and sing. I think that's brilliant. Just a shame he's not back.
Mm. Oh, there goes the guest for this week's show.
Oh, well, that's a point. Yeah. What are we going to do?
Well, we could do that Britpop one we've got on the back burner. That's Money for Jam.
And I said, no, you don't understand. That bit is your rant. Oh, that was Yes, guitar by Bernard Butler, formerly of Suede. Formerly of McAlmont and Butler. Actually, now of Bernard Butler. Presumably not the easiest man in the world to work with. Well, we've come to the end of yet another banging edition of Children's Hour, majoring in cleverness and minoring in Britpop. We've had the coursework of Weller and Ocean Colour Scene, the Viva Voce of Suede, and the Igratat of Oasis. Look them up. Martin Bain-Jones, if you were to choose just one track which summed up the Britpop, I'll call it era. A lot of people, of course, mistakenly use the word epoch. That's a point in time, not a period of time. Anyway, I mustn't get bogged down. What would you go for?
Oh, yes, Craig. Well, it would have to be this anthem for cool youth from those cheeky, cockety chappies Blur with Girls and Boys. The mods are back in town. How's your Vert Slumbago? Yes. All that remains now is to thank the researchers, Alexander Armstrong, Ben Miller, David Mitchell and Robert Webb. We were getting jiggy with it. Wit, Melissa Lloyd, Charlie Condu and Tony Gardner. Yo, bum rush the show to John Rolfe, our producer. Go, John Rolfe. Go, John Rolfe. Go, John Rolfe. Craig and I have been on a grooving tip. Thank you and good night.
Oh, thank God that's over. The thing is, I never use the spare room. You know, if I hadn't gone in there for a Hoover bag, I shudder to think what might have happened. And that was on Tuesday.